Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. First of all, I want to thank everybody for sharing us with your friends and families. We're coming up on almost a million listeners worldwide now, so that's pretty cool. And again, you can always go to Saving with Steve Sexton or savingwithsteve.us. for all the shows and everything. But today we've got a treat for you. Just want to set the stage right here. Spending time with your family that you haven't seen all year and being forced into some uncomfortable small talk. We all know this has been going on for decades. While you won't be able to escape them at the table, once you've gathered in the living room searching for where to find a show or a movie to finally agree to watch, there's an app that you can save you time, rescue from that small talk with your aunt, uncle, or cousin you secretly despise. So I want to introduce everybody and welcome guest Phil Pong, the creator and CEO of Gatsby TV. Gatsby, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I was talking to my wife about this and that dilemma of you have everybody over. And it doesn't matter whether you have a big family or small family, there's always that one family member or two that you don't know what to say. You're having that small talk and you're trying to think of something because nothing flows. And then when you get in front of the TV, it's like, hey, what do we watch? And it doesn't matter if it was like in the last 10 years when streaming was out, we can go back 30, 40 years. Everybody had the same dilemma. What do we watch? Hey, there's only six channels, but what the hell? What do we watch? Discussion continues. So I thought that was pretty cool. Let's start talking about what the universal problems that people have or experiencing on streaming platforms. And we'll just kind of go through there and we'll walk into what Gatsby TV does for everybody.
Yeah, no problem. So I actually have a very similar story to you. How I started a company was essentially at the time I was working at a major tech company in product management and engineering. And every day, just like millions of Americans and people worldwide, billions of people worldwide, I'd come home after a long day of work and, you know, kind of have that time in between dinner and when you're going to bed, where you're sitting there with your partner, your loved ones, your family, and you say, okay, what are you going to watch on TV? And I always sort of felt that this period always started this contention between my partner, right? Because she would want to watch something, I'd want to watch something else. We'd have roughly an hour or two to get something watched. And we'd spend half of that time, I feel like, just kind of going back and forth on what we want to watch. So I started to think to myself, you know, I spend all my time at work trying to solve people's problems. Why can't I solve a simple problem like trying to watch a TV show, a movie with a loved one in a fast and efficient way? And so I decided to start the app.
It's awesome. I can totally see that because we just had that discussion last night. So that's so cool. Now, help everybody understand how the app looks, what it can change, where to find, what to watch, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So the Gatsby TV app is a mobile app available in either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. So you can download it on any phone, essentially. And essentially what it's supposed to be solving is that problem of trying to find something to watch. And so when I was thinking about why it takes so long to find something to watch, I was thinking to myself, it's not a problem of choice, because in the English-speaking world, we've got about 500,000 TV shows and movies across Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, all these a litany of various TV networks. And so again, it's not a choice problem. The problem is that the right recommendation isn't there for the right person at the right time. And where our recommendations generally come from is you're, you know, texting a friend or you're at the water cooler, you're having brunch with someone and say, hey, you know, I just started watching this brand new show. You should check it out. And so you make a mental note of it. But when you actually sit down hours later, days later to find something to watch, you generally forget the recommendations. So within the app, what would happen now is that when you're sitting at lunch or at the water cooler or texting someone, the person can go into the app and send the recommendation directly to you as another user. And so what this does is the next time you actually sit down to watch something, rather than trying to rattle your mind to figure out what you've been recommended in the past, you can actually see what your friends have recommended to you. And you can actually see what they've currently watched recently if they haven't recommended something directly to you. So it gives you this sort of social way online to find things to watch that are interesting and see who's liked them. And then also let other people know that you've liked the TV show or movie also.
This is like deja vu because I just sit here going, yeah, right now, if you really think about it, all my wife really does, because her parents watch stuff, her friends watch stuff. We like this series called Alone. We found out 3 or 4 of our friends watch it. They're a season ahead and all that kind of stuff. And she'll get 6 or 7 things and she'll say, what about this? What about this? What about this? But if you have it on an app, it makes it so much easier because everybody can see it. So how does it help end the frustration? Because we've all gone onto Netflix and went, click show, click. Okay, not that one, not that one, not now with it. Or even the same with the movies. You keep going and it's like, okay, this doesn't seem like me. Don't like the romantic stuff. Need the action things. I want funny stuff. How does that work?
Yeah. So essentially there's plenty of features in the app, but one of the primary features in the app is this universal search. So you can say to yourself, okay, on this current TV, I have Netflix, I have HBO Max, and I have Hulu. I want to search on these specific networks for a comedy that's also a drama, right? That's also rated A+ within the app. And so what that does for you that you don't get on a lot of other search tools is this universal search, right? Because if you're in Netflix, you can only search for Netflix content. If you're in Hulu, you can only search for Hulu content. If you're in HBO Max, you can only search for HBO Max content. So it first solves that problem. Then the second thing it does is when you actually go into a TV show or movie within our app, it'll show you all the various ratings across Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, and Metacritic. So you know if it's a good movie or not. And then lastly, when you're looking at the movie, you say, okay, I've decided on this comedy drama. It looks like it's rated a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. And now I want to find out what networks I can watch it on. We then show you what networks you can watch it either for free via subscription or where you can buy it. And within the app, once you, let's say you have HBO Max, you can actually click the HBO Max button within our app. And we launch, let's say, Game of Thrones within the HBO Max app for you, so you can go directly in it. So you can search all within the app. And this is really, and another point I want to make is, for me, I think one of the reasons why it takes us so long to find things is that the search process is very convoluted, right? You're sitting there on your remote and it's like, G, A, you know, you're like moving across. So that time using the remote is actually part of the reason why this takes so long. And so if you can do something mobily with your two thumbs and you can search that way, you can search through a lot more content easily. And so that's why we're trying to move the center of our entertainment world from the remote and the TV back to the phone. We say you search for something there, you play something there, and then you can cast it from your phone to your TV. And so it becomes a much easier process and is no longer convoluted.
That's easy. How long ago did you launch the app?
Yeah, so essentially we launched the app this year. It's something that I've been working on as sort of a side project for actually a few years prior. But the sort of public version of the app has been available since March of this year. You've got a lot of great feedback in both Apple stores. There are a lot of people who come to us because, again, this is a problem that I feel essentially everyone has, but none of the major companies are solving. And part of the reason, just to kind of give the audience a reason why, is because if you're Netflix or if you're Amazon Prime, or if you're, name your network, there's no incentive for you to let people know what other good shows are on another network, right? And so that's part of the reason why we have this problem, right? The HBO doesn't want you to know that on Apple TV, yeah, there's actually a really good comedy on there that you should watch. But we all have all of these various networks. And what's sort of happened, and unfortunately, I remember the first days of Netflix and streaming video on demand, the whole idea of it is that you would no longer have to have cable, and then you could just sort of piecemeal, okay, maybe I'll just have Netflix. It costs me $15, $20 a month. But what slowly happened actually is that rather than people getting rid of their cable subscriptions, they're just bolting on streaming video on demand. So rather than lowering your total cost for TV and entertainment per month, you're actually increasing it, right? And so another thing that we do within the app, another feature, is we'll actually show you across your various streaming platforms how much you're paying. And if you're borrowing a password or whatever it may be, you can actually put in 0.00 so that you know, okay, that's a borrowed password. But we also want to give sort of our folks a single pay pane of glass to understand what their TV viewing is across multiple platforms and how much it's costing them.
That's wonderful, because one of the things that we talk about, what about helping people reduce their expenses, and I do this all the time in the financial planning world, is every little bit counts. But one of the big things I've seen is some still have cable TV, and then they have all those streaming sites and they're paying like $200 or $300 a month. And I said, which ones do you never watch? And some of them go, well, you know, I watched that one in January. I want to keep it. You know, we're talking in May, you know, so it's like, really? We show people, like, if you just had the internet and then had the appropriate streaming sites that you want, even if you have a live one, you could probably get everything covered for almost half the cost. So that's special. And for you to be able to go and do that, that's wonderful. We're going to have to take a quick break. I'm sorry, I'm too into this. Everybody stick with us. We'll be right back with more Gatsby here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to Saving with Steve here. I want to truly thank you for tuning in, letting your friends and family know about Saving with Steve. All the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve your problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of financial and personal freedom. If you'd like to go to Saving with Steve or Saving with Steve Sexton on Facebook, hey, there's an insiders club. You can get guest gifts behind the scenes. You can see all the flubs. You can see all the little things that go along. With that, I want to welcome Gatsby back here. Gatsby's the creator of Gatsby TV. If you just joined us, you really want to check this out, because we just talked about what happens during the holidays when you have people over and you've got conversations that you're trying to create, and then you get in front of the TV and you're trying to figure out to watch. He solved that problem. He totally solved that problem, that decade-old problem. And I can understand, like you were saying before, Gatsby, that there's a lot of places like Prime, Netflix, and so on. They don't want to solve the problem because they don't want people to leave their network, because that's a reduction in revenue, so to speak, from an advertising standpoint and so on. But basically, you have the ability now to look at all the different streaming sites, figure out what show you want to watch, get recommendations from friends and family members, and stock those up as opposed to trying to put them on another app that you always forget about or write them down on a note that you'll never remember. And it's there for you. On top of that, you know what? I'm not even advertising for Gatsby, but on top of that, you now have the ability to see where your expenses are and say, you know what? Hey, I'm not really using that. I should get rid of that. How can I do these things? This is wonderful. So Gatsby, welcome back to the show. I'm sorry, I'm just praising this because I think it's wonderful. And it's not a streaming age problem. It's a problem that's been occurring for decades, ever since I was in my teens and realizing that my parents and everybody else fought about what was on TV and what to watch, whether we have 500 channels or back then, I'm sorry, I'm a little older, we had 13 or 14. Back in the days when you watch the test pattern when you're little. Could you just run past everybody again? Because I just got a note from one of the listeners who would like to know how they would go about on your app to organize everybody chiming in and saying, hey, this is what I'm watching. You might want to check this out. And then how they can go about reducing costs when it comes to the different streaming sites.
Yeah. So in terms of the app, it's an entertainment app, but it's also a social app. So think of it as if maybe you're streaming video on demand apps and Instagram had a kid. So you can go in there, you can have your own profile, you can add friends and family members. And then when you add them, they're then able to send you recommendations. So you're only going to get recommendations from the people you want to get recommendations from. Additionally, when you go in the app and you're getting recommendations, if you decide to watch something, it's not something that's been recommended to you, there's an area within your profile where you can put recently watched. So if people are looking for something to watch, they can say, hey, you know, X person, my family has really good taste. Let me see what he or she is watching. And what's great about this and why I put that in there is because I think one thing that's sort of happened with technology, especially within social media, is it's actually made us less social, right? There's a lot of people, I was actually doing some research yesterday with some teachers, and they're talking about how during this COVID era with kids staying at home, they're starting to see that there are problems with development when it comes to their sociability and have them talking with friends and those types of things. And so with this app, this is a piece of technology which is not supposed to replace communication. It's supposed to augment communication. So in a good example of that is, let's say, for instance, you're at brunch with someone, they tell you to watch something, they send you a recommendation. What we found to be interesting is that when that recommendation is sent, and then you watch that show, and then on your profile, it said that this recommendation that you sent has been recently watched. It sends a notification to that other person. And then voila, there's a text message sent like, oh my goodness, you watched the show I told you about. What did you think about it, right? And again, this sort of augments this social, it really brings the idea of social networks into the real world, right? Again, where we're not trying to replace it, we're trying to augment. So the next time you have brunch, then you can sort of break bread over the things that have been watched. Then on the saving side, another great thing that I didn't mention before is that not only can you see what's available within all your various subscriptions, but the one thing people forget is there's a lot of TV that's free still out there, right? So you can actually filter for free TV shows and movies which are available on various platforms that you may never have heard of, right? Because like I said before, the Apple TVs, the Netflixes, the Amazons, the Hulus of the world are not incentivized to tell you that there's actually free TV available. And there is quite a lot of it. So we make sure that you're aware of that too. And some of this, and sort of to go on a little tangent here, is that you had talked about TV in the past and the way it evolved. And the thing, unfortunately, that sort of happened is that people forget TV at one time was free. So the reason why cable came to be is because the initial TV networks, your local Fox, your local NBC, ABC, et cetera, were supposed to be just free networks. You could watch, they would have commercials, and that's how they monetized, right? Cable came along, and the promise of cable at first was premium content and no commercials. That's why you pay for it, because there's supposed to be no commercial, right? And then slowly commercials started becoming a part of cable TV, and this is where we're at now. So we're going kind of in the future with TV, which again is unfortunate, but it's one of those things, right? It's they say those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, is that Netflix right now, you're paying for it and there's no commercials. But Netflix right now is having a problem with revenue and Wall Street trying to show this increased 3%, 5% growth year over year. And what unfortunately you're probably going to start seeing is that even they're releasing a ad-based Netflix version of Netflix. But what's probably going to happen, and mark my words, and I want this recorded now, is that your paid version of Netflix within the next 5 to 10 years is also going to have commercials. So in what we're trying to do with the app is we're trying to give people this ability to really switch between TV providers. And when you switch between TV providers, what that does is it's a vote to your existing TV provider, which says, you're not giving me the content I need, or you're not giving me the value I need. And so I'm going to switch over to HBO. I'm going to switch over to Hulu, whatever it may be. And in doing this and having people actually switch rather than keeping things on in perpetuity, the idea is that hopefully when they get to the point where they start to try to do commercials when you're already paying, people leave those networks and they say, ah, hold on, people are voting with their feet. Maybe we shouldn't do that. So this is where we become a part of the process and the solution.
The other part I thought that was really cool, what you said, is about which one's free, how much you got to rent, because it's interesting because we went and sourced different movies on different sites. And on some of them, they want you to pay $3 or $4 or $5 for, and on others, it is free. So if you know that in advance, why waste time? Now, here's the other question. When somebody finishes watching a new series, do they have the opportunity to, like, on their app, rate that series or that movie themselves?
Yeah. So within the app, you can rate a movie between 0 and 5 stars, and then you can also write a review. And one of the things that I feel that this is great for is that one of the things that bothers me, and I think a lot of people don't know about the internet and search tools, is search tools are biased, right? They are actually biased. I think for whatever reason, people don't know this, right? And so what's great about having a ratings and reviews within this specific app is that we are not biased. We are sort of the Switzerland of the streaming video of demand. And why this is important, right, is because when we think about how networks work and how TVs work, let's say, for instance, you're about to come out with a brand new movie, a blockbuster. You spend $100 million on it. You are, let's say, NBC, right? NBC owns Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of people don't know that, right? So, NBC Universal owns it. So if they spend $100 million on a movie, I bet you that that movie will have no bad reviews or very few bad reviews before, like in the opening week of it being listed, right? And so unfortunately, the thing about TV and video and movies that is sort of different about this specific industry, and unfortunate again, is that you don't know it's bad till you've consumed it, right? Like you know, that feeling of
I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah. That feeling of you watching a movie and then you get to the end of it and you see the credits, you're like, wait, hold on, that's the end? That was horrible. But you've already paid, you're already there, you know, they've already taken your time. That's one of the interesting things of this specific industry. So what we try to do, again, in being Switzerland, is we say we're not Rotten Tomatoes, which is owned by NBC, or we're not IMDb, which is owned by Amazon, or any of these things. When you come here for ratings and reviews and you read them, they're not going to be biased. So
There's a few recommendations we have. We're like, God, what the heck were they thinking? You know, and you're right, because I've been to a few movies and we're like going, that's it? Come on. You know, so I'm with you. So Gatsby, we're pretty much at the end of our time. I want to thank you for being here, but how can people get connected with your Gatsby TV app? How can they do all that?
Yeah. So in order to get connected with the app, either go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and just type in Gatsby TV, G-A-T-S-B-Y, space TV. And then we'll be one of the top hits there. Go ahead and download it. And if you're really enjoying the app, give it 5 stars. If you're not enjoying the app, then please do not rate it. but yeah, that's essentially how you find us. And again, it's a free app. So you can go in, you can find shows, you can search for shows. We don't allow the user to view the show within our app, but we do give you essentially the link within our app, which will open HBO or Hulu or Amazon, Netflix, whatever you name it. So it's an all-in-one app. And then you can go ahead and play it in stream video on demand providers application afterwards. It's very seamless and it's all connected. So yeah, that's about it.
That's great. It would be really cool somewhere down the road that when somebody buys a new TV, right in there next to Netflix and all those is Gatsby TV. I think that would be pretty cool.
That's the plan.
So, hey, Gatsby, thanks again for being with us today. If you're interested in Gatsby TV, go to Gatsby.tv to learn more, or go to the App Store and look at Gatsby TV. Again, thanks for being on the show today, Gatsby. We'll see you soon.
All right, thank you. See you all in the future.
You have a great day. Thanks for being with us, Gatsby, and I wish you all the success.
All right, thanks for your time, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Everybody, we want to stick with this. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we do talk about the ins and outs of money. Wasn't Gatsby wonderful? Again, that was Gatsby Frimpong, creator of Gatsby TV. You can go to Gatsby.tv or you can go to the App Store and get Gatsby TV. Solves many, many, many of your streaming problems. Now, let's talk about what's going on here for the rest of the year. Right now is a wonderful time to take a look at your taxes. In fact, if you're working with a financial advisor and you're not having that discussion, if they're not initiating that discussion, you need to do that, okay? Because what you do now could make a difference for what happens next year. It also could make a difference for your taxes this year. So let me make sure we're really clear. So check this out. Did you know there's a 12% tax bracket? Most people do, okay? If it changes a little bit, it'll be 15, but if your income is in that 12% tax bracket, you actually pay zero on your capital gains and your dividends. So think about this. We had one client, they were just above that 12% tax bracket threshold. They were paying about $5,000 a year in taxes, and they were looking to fund their new grandchild's 529 program. And I said, what if we did this? Let's move some of this money that's creating an interest income that's going to go on your tax return that you don't even spend and put it into something that's tax deferred. If they don't take it out, they don't spend money on taxes. By doing so, it lowered their adjusted gross income to below that 12% threshold, which meant all their dividends and capital gains were tax-free. And as a result, they went from paying over $5,000 a year in taxes to 50 bucks. That's one thing you do. Many people are looking at gifting this year. One of the ways you could do it, if you're retired, you're over 70 and a half, you could gift through a direct charitable distribution from your IRA directly to a charity and get a tax deduction, a dollar for dollar deduction. And you could do it for up to $100,000. So if you're too high on taxes, you don't need that required minimum distribution, you want to make sure your church is getting some extra money, you could do a qualified direct charitable contribution directly to that 501c3. And all you do is you talk to your custodian and say, hey, I want to send $30,000 to this charity. Here's the charity number. Here's all that stuff. And they send a check directly. You get a dollar for dollar deduction. Now, one of the big things, if you're looking to reduce your taxes, is this. Understand that you're getting a deduction here. It goes on to your itemized deduction list. If you've got no deductions, just know if you're married and you're over 65, the first $30,700 isn't going to do you any good. But if you're still paying a mortgage, you got mortgage interest, you got your local taxes and all that stuff, and you're added $30,000 to it, it could make a big difference on your taxes. The second thing that you want to know about, and the more important thing, is that some people have the ability to write a check from their IRA. And they have that ability because that's what their broker, dealer, you know, Schwab, Fidelity, whoever gives you the ability to do. And some people will write that check just before the end of the year from their IRA directly to that charity and send it to them. The problem is if they do not cash the check before December 31st, guess what? You're not getting credit for the deduction. So it's very important that you do that properly because you don't want to have that deduction disallowed for this year when you need it. Other things you should do now, take a look at your portfolio. You have winners, you have losers. That's what's happened in the last year or last 2 years. This might be a wonderful time to take profits, especially since the market is trading at almost 33 times its earnings, okay? And you got big people like Warren Buffett, Jamie Dimon, the CEO of NVIDIA, and others selling off a lot of stock, putting into cash. What are they getting prepared for? Hey, a downturn. This might be a great time to sell off some gains, but offset those gains with selling off some of those losses so your taxes are reduced or eliminated. So folks, on top of that, if you're still working, this is a great time to make sure you maximize your 401k, your Roth 401k, and so on. If you're gonna do a Roth conversion, make sure you understand how it works and you understand how the five-year rule works, so to make sure you're not taking out money and paying taxes on it, even though you didn't think you had to. Gatsby TV was wonderful. I wanna thank Gatsby for being with us today. I hope you have all a wonderful day. Look forward to seeing you next week right here on Saving with Steve. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.